Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I am joined for the fullness of the hour. This is a very special guest, Mr. Gil Toros. Gil is an evangelist down in the southwestern sector of the U.S. and across the border into Mexico. Gil, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, good morning to you, sir. And we are recent in our acquaintanceship. You placed an order through the Philadelphia Bible Society for some Bibles, both English and Spanish, to utilize in your ministry out that way. And it was our honor to make such provision. It was my honor to become acquainted with you. And Gil, you're an evangelist amongst our Hispanic population. It struck me that it would be apropos that I bring you onto the broadcast. What I'd like to ask of you first and foremost, Gil, as I do with many, if not all of our guests, is that you share your story with our audience, that you share with our audience how you came to know the love and truth of Jesus Christ and how you found yourself called to be an evangelist, as I was called to be a pastor and preacher. Share your story, please.
Yes. Well, my life before Christ, I was lost in alcohol and drug addictions, and I was trafficking with the cartels of Juarez, Chihuahua, Mexico, with the border with El Paso, Texas. And I was rescued. I heard the word of God, and I met Jesus around 1989. And I received him as my savior at the time when I was lost. And I hear about his name.
What? Let me stop you. Allow me to stop you right there, Gil. In what context did you hear the word, and what was it about the word that captured your attention?
I was in this rehab place for addictions, and a brother came up, and he introduced me to the word of God. And he tell me about the history of Jesus, that he gave his life for me. He died for me. That's when I received and I opened up my heart and I received Jesus. And I became a new life. Yeah. While I was lost. And before I knew Christ, I felt lost. And I was without a purpose, without a happiness. And that's when I met him. It was in a rehab place for addictions.
Well, thank God for such places. I have another friend and colleague who has also shared these microphones. And he spent 45 years behind the bars of prison. And it was while he was in prison that the Spirit of Christ got a hold of him. For you, it was within a rehab. Now, when you came out, may I ask you, and I'm not looking for details, that would not be fair of me, but when you came out of the rehab, was there still a struggle with the drugs, number one, or was it an immediate release? Mm-hmm. Number two, how did your colleagues amongst the cartels, how did they respond to your newfound faith? I wouldn't think they'd be very pleased.
Well, after I was released from that place for addiction. I went back. I was struggling to stay, to be, it's a become a new life in Jesus Christ. And the cartels, they wasn't ever very happy with my new life. But I talked to the big guy, the boss, about my new life. And he told me that, if you keep on going and that, if you really want to serve the Christ, that he don't want me to go back to the same life, that I was free of them, that I can go in peace. So he let me go. They never bothered me again. So it took me about another month before I keep the new life and give, all my life to Jesus. And began with a new life, with the power of the Lord, and with the help of the Holy Spirit that give me strength to keep going on my new life.
Now, did you find, were you able to find your way into a helpful fellowship? Were you on your own for a season in the Lord? How did that play out?
I'm still in the same church from that the brother talked to me in that place, in the drug addiction place, for the place where I was. And I'm still in the same church. The name of it is in Ciudad Juarez, Chihuahua, Mexico. And it's in the borderland of El Paso, Texas. And I'm still there. I've been there for 26 years since then. I've been there, and I'm still there in the church serving the Lord. And I lost my family. So, like, I'm serving the Lord by myself. And I saw my kids yesterday. Praise God. I am very happy because the Lord let me see my, I have a daughter. She is 12 years old, and I have a son. He's 14 years old. It's the only my marriage that I have, and I'm still serving the Lord in the church, hoping that someday we'll get together.
Well, I rejoice to hear that you saw your daughter. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Gil, were you raised with any kind of religious instruction or foundation, or was this all new to you?
No, I was raised with a Catholic. I was a Catholic before I became a Christian, but I was not very sure about that religion. And I just was there with mom. She used to take me to church when I was in my earlier years, around 8 years old. And when I grew up, I started hearing about Jesus. But in the borderland, here in the borderland, it's a lot of temptation. So I just hear about Jesus, and I keep growing until I met him in that place that we were talking about before. And I hear about Jesus, but not before I was a Catholic.
Yes, I understand. My perception is that Catholicism in Mexico can more largely be expressive of superstitious rituals. Fortunately, here in the Northeast, I know of bastions of Catholicism that are much more Christ-oriented, biblically grounded. But you're coming out of a different context. I'm very intrigued, Gil, by the fact that you're the head guy with the cartel was so amenable to letting you go. He clearly had a sympathy for the presence of faith in your life. I mean, that's a rather extraordinary reality. Another cartel leader may very well have been much more brutish towards you. So God's grace was operative. I would imagine your conversion was speaking to some of your cartel colleagues. That would be my impression, that the witness would begin right then and there, you know. But you found yourself in fellowship, and you began to grow. When did you have a sense that God was calling you to be an evangelist?
Well, I first started knowing that something was happening in my life because I got tired of being in that situation that I was. And the first, after my conversion, I talked to my old brother. His name was Lorenzo. And I talked to him about Christ and to, you know, to get out of the cartel too. That time, the cartels, they just beginning to start getting strong. They wasn't like it is at this time. You know, that cartels, that they're fighting for the borderlands and they're killing each other. So I talked to him, and then he talked to another guy from the cartel. He talked to him, and after that, you know, I had the sense of going out and telling what the Christ did in my life, you know, to the people that I was working with, you know, the cartel. And then I went out with another brother that he was receiving Transcript scripture the scripture booklets in Spanish, and he invited me to go out on the downtown area in Juarez and El Paso, Texas, to come in and start giving the scripture booklets and start giving my testimony in public. So a lot of these guys, they start knowing that what the Christ did in my life, you know, and how it was transforming my life eventually with the word of God, you know. And they start knowing me that I really was born. I was in a new life.
So there is clearly, praise God, there is a clear sense that you are you're a new man. I mean, unless a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. You've gone from darkness to life. You've gone from the cartels to the church. Praise God. Gil, we have to take a break. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to come back. Brad Lacey and Mr. Gil Torotz, an evangelist down in the Southwest. We return with the great message in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Gil Torotz, an evangelist on the Mexican-Texas border. We return for a second round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT. Gil, you've become a new man in Christ. Your colleagues within the cartel are reckoning with that fact, recognizing that there is something different about you. You've begun to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. I'd like for you now, tell us, please, about your investment in evangelism. For the last 30-plus years, I assume you've been doing evangelistic work. So tell us about your life as an evangelist.
Well, my life as an evangelist has been busy. There is a lot of need of people, you know, to brothers to come up in the city and, you know, Chihuahua, Mexico, and Mexico, that to come out and start preaching the word of God in the streets and the rehabs places, which there is a lot of them. And there is a place with the name of it is Victory, Rich Victory. This is a place where I'll go out and go and preach to the people that's addicted to drugs and alcohol and that trap and this situation. So God has been using me as a tool to reach the people and preach in that city of the downtown area. And he, by the grace of God, he is using me to start building new rehab places, which this place they call the New Esperanza. The New Esperanza, it's a place where the people comes in and you know, we lock them. And for 3 months, and we're helping, you know, to get rid of a drug and alcohol addictions, you know, for 3 months. And there is another place where we call that Agua Viva. That's Agua Viva, it's living water. Living water. And this other place is where we're helping to get rid of that addictions. So God has been using me as a tool to reach lives. You know, that they were trapped in drugs and alcohol, trafficking, which is a lot of people in Juarez, Mexico, they come from other nations, like from Salvador, Venezuela, Cuba, Colombia. They try to come across the United States. And a lot of people, they trap. You know, that they stay in Juarez, Mexico, you know, and they start, the cartels catch them and they cut them and they start using them to start, you know, trafficking drugs. So the way that God is helping me, it's using me to go out and reach these people in different places. We go to this place where they call them Cerezo, it's a penitentiary. In Guadalajara, Mexico, and we're going and bring those Bibles that you send me, those Bibles in Spanish that you send me. We take them to that penitentiary. This is where we're going and preach the Word of God from the church where I'm still for 26 years. And the Trinity, that's from the church where we go, a group of brothers and sisters. And it's the way that God is using me, you know, as a tool to reach new lives and introduce them to Jesus, our Savior. And this has been, it's evangelistic in Mexico. Also, I came to El Paso, Texas, and we do, this is a church that we call Under the Bridge, Church Under the Bridge. This is in El Paso, Texas. And also we reach the people homeless and they trap on drugs and alcohol. So it is the way that God is using my new life now.
So Gil, you're working evangelistically within the framework of rehabs, the prison system. You're basing your work from a church. Let me ask you this: what kind of receptivity do you find for the gospel? Is it a healthy response? Is it a mixed bag? What kind of response are you getting from the people to whom you're reaching out?
Well, a lot of people, they just like me, you know, they get the call of the Holy Spirit. You know, he brings conviction to their hearts before I go there and preach the Word of God. And it's hard for right now. I'm seeing that a lot of people, their heart is getting real hard to reach them. You know, they don't believe there is a God, there is a Lord, and there is a Savior. And it's hard people, the people to introduce them to the new life of the Christ, of Jesus, because they tell me, they ask me a lot of questions, why in the world, you know, that is going on, what's going on in the world, you know, why so much poverty, and there is a lot of rich people, and then why is so much poverty in other people, that if God was good, why he let those, you know, that to happen, you know, in this world. And they ask me a lot of questions, so they have a lot of confusion and doubt, you know, about the Christ, if there is a God, you know, or there is no God, if God exists, you know. So that's a lot of work, you know, to reach him and you know, pray, a lot of pray, and before we go out and start to preach to the people. And it's the Holy Spirit, you know, how can we be using the right words, you know, in him, that the Holy Spirit to touch their hearts, you know, because we only using his conduct to go and preach the Word of God. But the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to bring conviction to their hearts. Because from my own words, it's real hard to touch their hearts.
Well, I know that there is no meaningful evangelism, no fruitful evangelism without the Holy Spirit. Do you discern from the Spirit of God through prayer where you're going to go? Obviously, you have certain set places, the rehab, the penitentiary. But, you know, it's a wide open field. So how do you determine where else you'll go? By way of prayer? What's the means here?
By prayer, the Holy Spirit, he directs us where to go, because we don't go all the time to the same places, okay? We go and preach, and then a lot of people come or, you know, receive the Word of God. The ones they stay, some of them is just, you know, they be touched by the Word of God, and they just stay there for a certain time. Mm-hmm. And with during the, when the, you know, the situations in life, you know, they come up to their life and they don't stay for very long. And they go back, you know, to the same like they were before.
Yes.
So yeah, well, the way we work in is that there is a group of sisters, you know, where they, you know, we go and preach, and then the people that receive the Christ, you know, we direct them to the church. Some of them go to their rehab, and we just pray, and we direct it by the Holy Spirit to go into different places.
Yes.
Like we go to the capital of Chihuahua. We go to the capital of Chihuahua and preach, and we go to different places. It's a missionary, missionaries, you know, and go and preach. It's evangelistic, and we go to different places.
Wherever you go, wherever you go, you're taking the gospel with you, and the gospel is sorely and pervasively needed. We do need to take a break. I do beg your pardon. Brad Lacey and evangelist Gil Toros, we return with the great message in just a moment. Brad Lacey and evangelist Gil Toros returning for a third round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Gil, you've been sharing with us what you're doing. It's a beautiful work. It's a desperately needed work. My question for you is, I'm speaking with you from the northeastern sector of the United States. You're based along the border betwixt Texas and Mexico. You're Mexican, I believe, by upbringing, and that is your base of operation. What's it like spiritually on the other side of the border? What tell us about the spiritual climate of Mexico.
The spiritual climate in Mexico, like we live on the border of Ciudad Juárez, Chihuahua, Mexico, and El Paso, Texas. We receive a lot of people from other nations, and they came and stay in where's and they don't they just come and live there until they get across to the United States. And while they stay there, the situation in Juarez, Chihuahua, Mexico, like it's a borderland, is very unstable.
Unstable.
And as you hear before, this city became the worst city of the world. I don't know if you hear about this place. And this is the worst. So here is hard to work. You know, it's evangelistic and start fishing in the streets because the police don't let us to come out, to go out and preach the word of God. And the cartel.
The police are obstructive to your work.
The police obstructed the field work.
Really?
Yes. The field work.
Why would they be obstructing your preaching?
Because they're the cartels.
The police, yes. Well, that would be
the cartel.
Yeah, that was part of my next question, if you will. The level of corruption, it's pervasive.
Yeah, they don't let us go out on the field and start preaching, because if we win all these lives, all these souls of the streets and take them out of the streets of the drug addictions and alcohol, who's going to make them rich?
Yes.
You know? So the same police in the army, they're with the cartels. They're with that, you know, I'm sorry to feel bad about, you know, talk, you know, about my country in Mexico, but this is what life is on the borderland.
Well, that...
So it's hard to go out there and preach the word of God, because even the authority is opposed, you know, to the word of God.
Well, Gil, if I may, it is our perception that the level of corruption on the other side of the border is extensive and pervasive. I would like to think it was more of a stereotype, but you're clearly stating that it's not, that it's reality. So if the police are corrupt, I'm assuming we're also dealing with corruption amongst such people as mayors and governors and the like. It's a pervasive corruption. So, I mean, what kind of support do you get in Mexico? I mean, you have the support of your local church, but are there other forces in the country that will recognize the good that you're doing? Or is it just you're on your own, but for the grace and Spirit of God?
I am in my own by the grace and the Spirit of God. I'm working with this church, you know, like you say, and with my church and the people. But no, we don't have no other help from other out of the state or other in Mexico. You know, we were getting together to pray and start doing evangelistic work for the Lord with the Assembly of God. There is the older church in Chihuahua, Mexico. It's a Baptist church. It's been there for 120 years. This is located in the city of the city of Ciudad Juarez, Mexico. And they're still there. So we get together with them, and they bring a lot of, there comes a lot of people, you know, that brothers and sisters, where they're, they go out to and preach the word of God. But they've been targeted the authority, police, and, you know, were then trying to stop us and stop them. So we're trying to get together to go out and start preaching, you know, like a campaigns. And but we're working on that, you know, and hoping, praying that, you know, for people from other nations, missionaries. They used to come missionaries from the United States. These missionaries, they come a lot of youth kids from different states of the United States, where they come and summer vacation, when they come out from school, they came to Juarez, Mexico, in El Paso, Texas. They came to preach the word of God, a lot of youth kids, American kids. And we've been seeing Korean people. We've been seeing Russian people. We've been seeing from Colombia and different places, in different nations. But has been around a couple of years since we stopped seeing all these missionaries coming to this borderland, because they start, they start taking and take them on the cartels and police and start robbing them, you know, they just, a lot of them, they don't come back. They just go, they leave and not come back. But a few stay. We have a lot of, we have a few ministries where American, you know, for people from the United States, they stay there and work. And they working hard for the word of God.
You know, yeah, Gil, I've talked with other, I have a very dear friend who was a missionary for many years over in Chiang Mai, Thailand. And she would share with me of how Christian missionaries would come over and they would set up shop. But it's a different culture, of course, in the very least. And often they don't stay. The few that do, praise God. But let me ask you, when these missionaries come into your land and into your town, are they looking to work with you, or are they working independently of you?
No, they work with me. They work with me. There is a missionary with my hope. They built a mission. A mission in Juarez, Mexico, Hope. And there is this missionary, they came from different places of the United States. And they come and build.
So they will.
They build.
Yeah, so you'll find that that at least with some of them, that you establish partnerships. That's a beautiful thing. You know, there's a word in the scripture from Paul's letter to the Philippians in which he thanks God for, and I quote, your partnership in the gospel. The work that I do here in Philadelphia, I pastor a small, my lovely little fellowship, I serve as president, as you know, of the Philadelphia Bible Society. We exist to freely distribute the Word of God. I do this radio broadcast. It's a consummate blessing. I'm now working with another group called the Friends of Jesus Coalition, and we're looking to bring the churches together for a special program in the fall in downtown Philadelphia. I love partnerships with fellow believers, with fellow pastors, with evangelists like yourself. I know some evangelists here. There's a wonderful Hispanic gentleman here in Philadelphia, Mr. Luis Centano. I just had a lovely lunch with his son, Jamie Centano, who's both a pastor and an evangelist. To have these partnerships, they are gifts from God. They are precious. And Gil, if I may say this, though we be a couple of thousand miles removed from one another, you and I are now partners in the ministry of the gospel. I praise God for this. But brother, we have to take one final break before we share one final segment. Brad Lacey and Gil Toros, we return with the great message in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Mr. Gil Toros, evangelist to the people of the border betwixt Mexico and Texas, we return with one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Gil, you're a Mexican gentleman. You have conversation, if you will, engagement with the other side of the border, El Paso, Texas. I don't know how extensive your awareness of the United States is, where else you've been. But what I'd like to put to you is a question. As a Mexican believer along the border, you've come forth from the cartels, and you have a heart to spread the word of God. What would you like your American friends on this side of the border? And again, I'm speaking to you from the northeastern sector of the United States, but what would you like us to know about the need of people in Mexico and along our own border? What do you want us to take away today?
Well, pray. We pray for the nation of the United States. We pray for Mexico, for the borderland of Juarez, Chihuahua, Mexico, and the borderland of El Paso, Texas. We really need to pray for our nations, for our people, you know, and get together in prayer. So what really we like to ask the American people, you know, that we really need to get together, because I learned the word of God this brother, he's still in the church. He's an American. He's an American. He lives in America and he lives in Mexico. But he talking about a lot that, you know, that America has stopped coming, you know, coming to the borderland. And I would like to ask, you know, for prayer, first of all, you know, to prayer and to get together. And someday I will, you know, hoping to meet them, you know, to see them, you know, from Philadelphia, or maybe me go there and then get together and pray. So this is what I will ask God, you know, for American people, you know, that we really need to start getting together and pray.
Well, I do believe, Gil, you know, we're hearing that our younger generation, at least a portion of them, that it's returning to church and to the gospel. Praise God if that is accurate. Prior to that, it had long been my perception that the future of the gospel here in the United States was coming forth from our Hispanic brethren. I understand that churches in the Southwest, Hispanic churches in large measure, are very healthy. This is what I hear. So I'm inordinately and enormously in favor, just for that reason alone, that American believers and believers south of the border find more common ground and camaraderie. And the fact that, according to the Word of God, the Spirit of God is calling people from every tribe and every race. Right now, I'm involved in a project. The endeavor is to bring together in one setting, come this autumn season, to bring together black and white Christians, Asian and Hispanic Christians, Catholic, Protestant, and Orthodox Christians, Pentecostal, fundamental, Messianic Christians, Christians from the city, Christians from the suburbs, to bring God's people together to create one magnificent pastiche by which we will lift high the name of Jesus. So I'm all in favor of Americans and Mexicans coming together in the cause and for the purpose of Jesus Christ. Your vision is a noble one. It's a biblical one. It will have ultimate fruition. And praise God to the extent that it's becoming reality today. When you look across the border, or when you come across the border, what is your perception? What do we need in America here spiritually?
We need to go back to that, you know, like it used to be before. Now it's not American. It's not America that I first met when I came in. Yeah. And the amnesty. See, I became a resident of the American state in 1985 in that Ronald Reagan administration for amnesty. I think it was Ronald Reagan for the amnesty. So I became a resident of the United States. When I first came to the United States, I saw that a lot of mobilization of the church, you know, and the streets. They were praying in the streets, and they were preaching. And like now that we are doing a church under the bridge, they used to see a lot of brother or sisters, you know, to come together and preach the word of God to the people on the streets. So I used to see America that way, you know, that it's hard workers, you know, hard missionaries, you know, and the church really need to get together, you know, and pray all together so we can go back.
Yeah, Gil, I can tell you that clearly over the last 20, 30 years, there's been an increasing fragmentation of the church. Churches don't come together as they once did for any number of reasons, some which are legitimate, some which are illegitimate. But there is a fragmentation. Mm-hmm. There's, I think, an increased narcissism on the one hand and an increased insecurity or sense thereof on the other. And walls go up. I don't mean border walls in the sense of a geopolitical reality. I'm not speaking for or against that. But walls betwixt people have gone up. I'm seeing it at every turn. And it's very sad. We can thank God. You know this as well as I. We can thank God that the one constant is the presence of Jesus Christ. He always abides, always abounds. Mm-hmm. And so we can look to him, even if we can't look to our fellow man or to our fellow believer. We can look to him. Gil, we have 1 minute left. I want to give you the last word. In 1 minute or less, share with our people your message that you share.
The message is that the Lord is close. The Lord is ready to come to this world, and you know, to repent and give your life to Jesus Christ, because pretty soon there will be no time to repent, give your life to Jesus Christ, because right now is the moment. This is the moment, not tomorrow. So this is the time.
Well, as the word of God says, Gil, from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, now is the time of salvation. Now is the day of the favor of God. Mm-hmm. I praise God for a man such as yourself. I'm so happy we've become acquainted. You reached out to us at the Philadelphia Bible Society. It was our blessing and privilege to reach back with four cases of Bibles for you. Gil, I'd like to keep in touch. You've been a blessing to this audience. You've put forth the gospel of Jesus Christ in a nutshell. You've shared your life. I thank you so much. Brad Lacey and Evangelist Gil Toros, we wish you, all who are listening, the blessing of God in every way. Thank you.